Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Let the debate begin.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. You're going to hear a lot about fix-it measures over the next few months, starting today with a vote in the Senate. Democrats want to pass a bill aimed at helping people on the cusp of foreclosure, but it looks like the plan will need some revamping before Republicans will go along with it. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's plan grabbed the headlines yesterday. We have some idea how his proposals might affect Wall Street, but what about Main Street? Jeremy Hobson takes a look.
When he announced the proposal, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said the ultimate beneficiaries wouldn't be bankers and stockbrokers, but rather ordinary working Americans.
We'd like to believe that, but there isn't very much evidence of that.
That's Peter Wallison, a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He says while more efficient regulation could cut costs for financial institutions, consumers probably wouldn't see the savings. But, says Jared Bernstein at the Economic Policy Institute,
you won't really feel them in your life today or tomorrow. But if they work, they will help to prevent the very kind of downturn we're facing right now.
In the short term, Bernstein says, it could become more difficult to obtain a mortgage if the feds wrest control from state mortgage regulators.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, because one of the fallouts of the current crisis is that a lot of folks got way in over their heads.
That's one reason some critics of Paulson's plan say stronger consumer protection and not just rearranging the regulators is what's really needed. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
There seems to be a welcome calm in the stock markets this morning. In Asia, the markets finished the day about where they started, although Japan gained 1%. European shares are 1% higher so far. Wall Street is coming off small gains. The Dow added 46 points to 12,262. The NASDAQ climbed 17, and the S&P 500 was up 7 points. The European plane maker Airbus has had a rough go lately. Delays with its super jumbo jet, the A380, losses, thanks in part to the weak dollar, and now allegations of insider trading. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us. Stephen, what's going on?
The French equivalent of the SEC, the French stock market regulator, has carried out an 18-month-long investigation into allegations of insider trading at Airbus's parent company, that's EADS, and it's concluded there is evidence of insider trading and market abuse.
Do we know anything more than that?
Yes, I mean, this relates back to June 2006, when Airbus announced some big delays in the A380 Super Jumbo project. After the announcement, shares in EADS slumped by 25%, but it later emerged that shortly before the announcement, some senior managers at the firm, including the co-chief executive, Noël Forjard, had dumped their shares in the company. In Forjard's case, he'd sold several million dollars worth shortly before the announcement of the delays.
What is EADS saying about this?
Well, the company says it will defend itself and its managers vigorously against the allegations. In a rather lofty statement, it says it will demonstrate it has applied standards of excellence when communicating with the market, and it has acted with full transparency. However, it does acknowledge that if there is a prosecution, the company's image and reputation could suffer.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Time to continue our series, Housing Madness. Today we look at a group of people who never even took out a subprime loan, or any loan for that matter. Renters. Steve Tripoli has this story from the South Carolina coast.
The Myrtle Beach region's overbuilt. Vacant single-family homes and condos left over from the recent boom are looking for buyers or renters. And that's blowing back on places like the Flint Lake Apartments complex, where property manager Celeste Grippo's feeling the heat.
Our competition was basically condominiums and other apartment communities, and now we're finding people are leaving our apartments to rent homes.
Often for the same price as an apartment. Grippo says apartment owners across the region are struggling to hold on to renters.
We find that they're breaking leases, or at the end of the leases, they're going to lease a home.
That's forcing landlords to be creative, but at a cost.
A lot of communities are taking decreases in their rents in order to bring more traffic through the door, giving specials. We're giving 1 month free. And we're finding that also the homeowners are doing the same thing.
All that may not be great for landlords, but Grippo says their loss is a renter's opportunity.
You'll find that the renters are very savvy. They're going to shop from one property to the next. They're going to find out where those specials are, and they'll move.
Local home renovator Gary Stringer says fewer folks are calling him for fix-up projects these days. But that's not the only way to make money in his business. Stringer occasionally buys rundown properties and fixes them up for sale. He says the housing bust may be opening some of those doors.
If there was ever a good time for an investor to be looking to buy property, this would be the time. Things always bounce back, and they bounce back pretty well here. And I'm hopeful that there'll be a lot of good investment money to be made here.
So is he out shopping?
Oh, I'm always looking. It's a way I make a living, and it's kind of a hobby as well. So, yeah, I can't help but look, you know.
There are even some upsides for Celeste Grippo, the apartment manager. Her company owns apartment complexes in 30 states. She says it's on the hunt for more properties as the bust and foreclosures lower prices. And Grippo's own daughter is another winner. She's wanted to move to Myrtle Beach for a while, and recently she got that chance. She paid $185,000 for a house that had been listed at $210,000 just a few months ago. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.